Thank you, Sharon. Amen. Now the Lord be with you. I'd like to welcome each and every one here, guests and visitors alike. We're glad you could come out and be with us on this first Sunday of Advent, 2019. We do have a lot of folks that need prayer. We've got a lot of folks traveling. Got a group that is on a cruise right now. So hopefully they'll do well. There's a lot of folks that I understand a stomach bug is catching up with a lot of folks, and it is not very nice. And there are some folks who are just out and about for Thanksgiving weekend. They got a long weekend, so they're taking advantage of that. And God bless them. I hope they have a safe trip home and all that. We got Miss Cherry Funderburk with us today. We're glad to see her back and feeling better. Just glad to see you out, ma'am. I understand things are heading in a much better direction. God bless you. Prayers do work. God does answer prayers. Thank God she's here with us today. Do want to fill you in on a couple of things. Miss Barbara Kettner is on her prayer concerns, but remember her. Understand she's had a very, very rough week. Kathy was filling me in on some of the things. She said, don't get into all the sort of details, but Miss Barbara definitely needs her prayers, and so keep her in your prayers if you would. A little special this week. Also, everybody on prayer concerns list, and throughout the Advent season as we get up towards Christmas, remember our shut-ins. Maybe go out and visit one of our shut-ins. Maybe send them a card, a visit. They would just love to have that this time of year, about any time of the year, but I know it would be very special for them this time of the year. Also, Rita Ramsey. Rita is very sick. Her family is under the weather right now with the stomach virus. I think she might be the only one walking at this point. So there will not be any of our play practice today. No play practice today since Rita her family is just everybody sick with a stomach virus. So no play practice for today. OKFC and Luther League, they're still taking up toys out in the Narthex. Going to take those over to the Main Street Mission for their Christmas shop in China Grove. So they're doing a great job. A lot of stuff I saw out there this morning. Again, today's the first day of Advent. We'll be lighting our candle here in just a little bit. You can get your poinsettias, red, white. You can order them today if you will. I got to move this thing. This thing's driving me crazy back here. Everybody should have to wear this at least once. But you can get your poinsettias ordered. There is a sheet in there for that. Everybody's invited to the O-Wings Christmas Fellowship. That'll be next Saturday, December 7th, 5:30, weather permitting. They're going to do a program in the old church at 5:30. They're going to end up in the fellowship hall. Going to be having some of Miss Ruth Sifford's homemade soup, the recipe from her. So if the weather really is bad, everything will be in the fellowship hall. So be aware of that. Remember the Sweet Potato Queens, they're taking up stuff for the Wallace Cancer Center. We've got a lot of chrismons that have been donated this year. You can get your tithing envelopes back in the back. We still need addresses, things like that for different folks. Is there anything that maybe perhaps we've missed? Don't want to miss anything. Well, I guess at this time, if there is nothing else, then let's all stand for our confession and our forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Please be seated if you would. And let's have the children come forward for the children's message. And then after that, we'll have the lighting of the Advent candle. We want the children to stay up here after the children's message for the lighting of the Advent candle.
How's everybody doing? Y'all doing good? Good. I'm glad. All right. I want you to look around real quick. What's different than last week? The what? The wreaths. Yep. That's a good one. What else?
It's blue.
The color's blue. That's a good one. There's a manger up there. All right, yep, you're right, Christmas tree. So what are we doing now? What are we preparing for?
Christmas.
Celebrating Christmas, yeah. And so today is the, yeah? No? That's okay. But what are we starting now? Does anybody know what this time before Christmas is called?
December.
It is December 1st. That is technically correct. What are we starting here 4 weeks before Christmas? There's these weeks before Christmas. Do you remember what it's called? The season where we do blue?
Advent,
yep. And so what do we do during Advent? We prepare and we wait for, yeah, and what's Christmas? What happens on Christmas? Jesus is born. Yeah. So that's what Advent is. Advent's a time that we prepare ourselves for Jesus coming as a baby, and we remember that happening. And we also prepare ourselves for Jesus coming again to just set everything right and take us to where God is and make God's city on earth and all that good stuff. Okay? So as we get ready for Christmas, we want to remember that this is Advent, and that's what we're preparing for. Okay? Now, look at the manger real quick. What do you see?
It's broken.
Yeah. What's in it?
There's nothing in it.
So I need one volunteer to grab one thing. You want to grab one thing? There's some characters around. If you see baby Jesus, leave him alone. He's last. But can you grab one, and we'll put it up there, and we'll slowly make it so that they start coming and preparing, and we'll take advantage of this Advent season and prepare for Jesus to be born and all the awesome stuff that comes with that. Does that sound good? You want to put it up there somewhere? Good job. All right, y'all. Now, we're going to light the Advent candle this week, okay? And so I want y'all to watch that, and then after that, you can get a sucker, and you can go to Children's Church, okay? All right. There you go.
This morning, we light the prophecy candle. This candle reminds us of the prophets of old who foretold of the Messiah's coming.
Let us pray. Gracious and forgiving God, in this Advent season, we are called upon to set aside time to worship you and make new commitments. Forgive us for being consumed with other agenda that pushes you to the margins of our lives. Make this season truly holy for us. We pray these things in the name of Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Amen. All right, y'all. You can get a sucker and go to Children's Church. Thank you. Please stand if you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Let's pass the peace. Peace be with you.
The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem: it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up upon the hills, and all the nations shall flow it to it. And many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Our house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Here ends the first reading. Second reading comes from the 13th chapter of Romans, starting at the 8th verse. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in his word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of a law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Here ends the reading.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said, But concerning that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Most precious God, we thank you for this first Sunday in Advent, and we do pray today that you would bless this service, you would open our hearts and minds to you, give us words to say, and use this seed as you would see fit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take just a moment to thank everybody who decorated the church. It looks beautiful as always, absolutely stunning, and we appreciate all that hard work. I know it's a lot to do, but very worth, I think, all the elbow grease that goes into it for the beauty that we have, so thank you. to each and every one. What do we say about the end of time? We hear a lot about that from a lot of people, the end of time. And if I were going to title this sermon, I would call this $5 word. I want to use a couple $5 words to talk about what Jesus is saying here, the end of time. And a lot of people have made a cottage industry here lately about the end of time. The first big word that we would use is eschatology. Sounds really fancy, doesn't it? Eschatology, the eschaton. This means the study of the end things, the study of the end of time. And there has become a cottage industry that has been wrapped up around all of this. And people get so caught up into this that they cannot see the forest for the trees. It was started, the modern day father of this type of thought is a man by the name of John Nelson Darby. Darby was running around in the 1830s, and he discovered, lo and behold, that there is a mathematical sequence in the Bible that if one could just decipher its mysteries, that one could know the day that Jesus would return, that the end of time would be. So Darby set out on this great quest to do this, and in Jethro fashion, he had all of his knots and gazendas in a row. If you've watched Jethro a few times, you know what we're talking about. But he passed away and went on to be with God, and another gentleman picked this thought up, and his name was Miller. And Miller began to add all the knots and gazendas together that Darby had started, and lo and behold, Miller got a big following called the Millerites. And lo and behold, he discovered that Jesus was coming back in 1843. He got all the knots and gazendas lined up, got it all added up just right, and he took advanced math over at Carson High School and had it all fixed up right and knew what he was doing. And lo and behold, Jesus was coming. Well, guess what? Jesus didn't come back in 1843. Well, he made a mistake, he said. He said, I made a mistake. I put a knot where I should have had a gazenda, and I just added up wrong. And lo and behold, Jesus is coming in 1844. Some of you might be able to remember back in about 1988, there was a book running around that said 88 reasons that Jesus is coming back in 1988. And then the author of that book, after Jesus did not return in 1988, decided that he made a mistake with his knots and gazendas, and there's 89 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1989. Now, you could have done this into infinitum. Eventually, somebody's got to get it. But we're not supposed to guess these things. This is not what we're supposed to do. And these people, the Millerites, after 1844, began to realize that Darby and Miller, maybe they were well-intentioned, maybe they meant very well, but that the theology and the biblicism behind it was terrible and it was horrible, and it destroyed their lives. There's a book that was written about this group, and you know what it's called? It's called The Disappointed. Imagine that. Disappointed. And it starts out with a gentleman, I believe he is in Indiana, and he's a farmer, and he was a Millerite, and it's the day after Jesus was supposed to have come, and he is walking through his fields looking at all of the mess, because there was no need to take the crops in because Jesus was going to return, so why take up the crops and waste your time? And he had lost everything. His crops were ruined. It was too late. He lost his finances, lost everything. And many people were just like this. That group today has become another group that we hear a lot about, the Seventh-day Adventists. You might have heard about some of them. They are Christian folks who still believe in a lot of these things, but they're called the Seventh-day Adventists to this day. There have been lots of groups who have come about who are end-of-time groups. Some of you ladies, you're really going to like this. How many of you ladies like Oneida Cutlery? You like Oneida Cutlery? You know what I'm talking about. Well, guess what? There was a group called the Oneidaites, and guess what they did? They were silversmiths, and that's how they made their living, and they made cutlery and other things. They were one of these end-of-time groups. These things spring up everywhere, and we see lots of people today spending so much time worrying about Is Jesus coming now? Is Jesus coming here? Is Jesus coming there? What is the day? What is the hour? You might as well forget it. It's a waste of time, and it is a waste of good biblical study. You need to study God's word and forget all of this craziness. Because here is the next word that comes about. The next word is called eisegesis. Eisegesis. Another $5 word that they taught me at the university. And it's really simply this. It means an interpretation of Scripture that expresses the interpreter's own ideas, bias, or like. Rather than reading of the text, and rather than letting the text interpret itself, they decide what the text does. This happens quite a bit today. We were talking about, in my Sunday school class today, in 2 Peter, where it says there is no private interpretation of Scripture. Some people would have done well who have read those words before they come up with all these things. You see, when you eisegete a text, you take and you make it say what you want it to say. Back in the World War II days, we've all heard of the Antichrist. We've heard of the false prophet. Well, guess what? Adolf Hitler, according to some, was the Antichrist, and Mussolini was the false prophet. Made a really good team there. Didn't kind of hold out. And then you travel a little bit later into time in the 1980s. Well, guess what? They figured out exactly who the Antichrist was going to be. And you know who it was? Ronald Wilson Reagan. Because the name of the Antichrist is 666, right? Well, Ronald 6, Wilson 6, Reagan. Six letters. It had to be Ronald Wilson Reagan. I hate to break it to people. 666 means Neron Caesar. You can add it up any way you want. It's talking about Nero. It's talking about something that already happened. Boy, that blows a whole lot of things out of the water. The point is this. Good biblical study, good interpretation means that you do not infer. And I cannot take my own like, my own want, like a lot of people do, and do this just like the Millerites. It destroys lives. It hurts people. It will take people down the tubes when we do these things. Our final big word for the day is this. It's called exegesis. Exegesis. This is what a good pastor, this is what a good theologian will do. And what this is simply this. It is a critical explanation or interpretation of the text or Scripture as Scripture interprets itself. Scripture interprets Scripture. Do you know that? Good rule of thumb. If you're reading the Bible and you come upon something, and a lot of people will take and eisegete the text, isolate the text, make it say what they want. A good rule of thumb is this. Read a chapter before and a chapter afterwards, and you generally will get the context. Sometimes you have to read a little further back, a little further up, but you will generally get the context if you have context means something. You can't jump around all over the place like a lot of people want to do. I promise you that very shortly, maybe it was even done yesterday in some of these rival football games that were done against different colleges. Mine lost, lo and behold, as we're used to doing. You want to get used to being part of the disappointed? Be a Wake Forest fan. You'll be really disappointed. Maybe we should write a book, The Disappointed, about being a Wake Forest grad. But a lot of people want to take these things and isolate it. I promise you, there is somebody somewhere after the Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals, you know, maybe the Stanley Cup, whatever, or one of these big games, is going to stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, it means you can lift 400 pounds. It means you can lift the front end of a car up. That's exactly what it was talking about, right? Well, my whole thing is this. Why lift the front end of a car up? You ought to have a jack in the first place. Why fool with this? Man, it has nothing to do with strong. It has nothing to do with ripping. We had one group run around, they ripped telephone books open. I can do all. No, it means you can love the unlovable. It means you can pray for those who are spiteful. You can love that person who is hateful. You can love the person who has even tried to destroy you or maybe has destroyed you. That's what it means. You can do these things through what? Through Christ. I can't do it on my own. I can only do it through Christ. Because why? He strengthens me. He strengthens me to do it. I have no power to do it on my own. I can't do it on myself. As I've told you many times, I couldn't heal a flea with a headache. And I can't make a flea with a headache feel any better. But God can help me to love who are unlovable. Here is the message for today. Trust God. Forget about all of the crazy stuff and all of the interpretations that people try to bring out. There is no private interpretation of Scripture. It only leads to destruction. Bad theology, bad biblicism will lead to that. But here's the thing. Trust God. His word says that there is a time coming. I don't know when it is. It might be 5 seconds from now. It might be 5 years from now. It might be 5 million years from now. I don't know. But Jesus will return because his word says that. And let's trust him. Instead of getting all caught up in all these other things, let's trust him. Here's the bottom line, folks. If we can trust Jesus for our salvation, we can trust him for that. If we can trust him for the things that he gives us every day, our food, our clothing, our sustenance, the rain, the sun, all the things that he gives, glory to God, we can trust him to take care of the things of the end of time. And now, let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one be with the Father. Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
It is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people. In the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated at this time. We ask and invite all baptized Christians to join us in this Holy Communion this morning. We're going to do a continuous. And we do have a gluten-free option. Just let us know, and we got that for you. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace, and lead you unto eternal life. And now the Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and grant you. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.